David Lovejoy with KGNC News Radio. I'm joined today by State Senator Royce West. He's running for U.S. Senate in the upcoming election. Welcome, Mr. West. How are you doing today?
David, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for coming to Amarillo.
My pleasure.
Let's tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a state senator, and I've been a state senator for the past 26 years. I'm an attorney, and I've been an attorney for about 40 years. I have offices in Dallas, Houston, and Fort Worth. So I've had a business since 1984, so I have that business background. I'm a former assistant district attorney in Dallas County, ran for district attorney in Dallas County. And I've been, like I said, in the Senate for the past 26 years, married, member of Good Street Baptist Church, where I'm a deacon. And my wife, Carol West, runs the house.
As always. Senator, tell us a little bit about why. You've been a state senator and in the state of Texas. Why national now? Why do you want to run for the U.S. Senate?
Because of the condition of our politics in the country right now. We have never been in a situation where the President of the United States is affectionately, many times, referred to as a liar. By many people. We've never been in a situation where there's been an issue of balance of power and the three branches of government, at least two of the three, are going at one another. And so they're big issues now. I've never seen this like this in the 67 years that I've been alive. Some people want to say, well, it's the Democrats' fault. Others say it's the Republicans' fault. The question is that we have issues in this country that we must resolve, and we must, in fact, make certain that we defend against enemies, both domestic and foreign.
Now, through your career, you've been a champion of education.
Yes.
It's a life changer. We know that's the key, especially with people that generational poverty, and it's a life changer. Why is that such a big factor and interest of yours?
Well, because it was exactly what you said. The reality is that when you look at Texas and recognize that they're changing demographics in the state of Texas, and that most of the kids in our public school system are on free and reduced lunch. The question is whether or not we are developing the next generation of leaders for this state. And I say no, not in the method that we need to be doing it. Now, have we begun to make some good strides towards it? Yes, I must say that. One of my friends who's your state senator here is Kel Seliger, who's very involved in education. I've worked with him on higher education issues. We've cussed and discussed. Sometimes we've agreed, sometimes we've disagreed, but we've been able to disagree without being disagreeable. But one thing I can say about all of the senators, they want to make certain that we have a quality education system in this state and also in this country. And so all of us strive in order to make certain that happens. We may have different methods in order to achieve that, but it ends up being the end goal for all of us.
Now, you touched on this earlier, Senator. The split we have in this country right now, and partisan politics. How would you go about bridging that divide and working together across the aisle?
Well, you know, when you look at my career, I have been in the minority party for a long time. Ann Richards was the last Democratic governor that we've had, so I've had to be in a Republican administration, both in the Senate and also in the House, and obviously the governor's mansion. And so I've had to learn how to work within that environment to get things done. And herein lies what I'm going to talk with you about, David. You know, I'm interviewing for a job, okay? Right now I'm interviewing for a job in the Democratic primary. And when you interview for a job, all of you listeners, you've had to interview for it. So you've had to put together a resume. You've had to give your experiences, and you've also had to give your references. And so when you begin to look at the Democratic primary, this is what I'll say. When you look at my resume versus everyone else's resume, you'll see that I have substantive experiences in education, health and human services, economic development, voting rights issues, women's rights issues, immigration. I have those experiences. I've helped work on policy for those areas. And I'll continue to do the same as a U.S. senator. My number one goal, I can tell you now, is health care. I know that many of you out there understand what I'm talking about. Some of you have pre-existing conditions, and you worry about how you're going to pay for your insurance. As a state senator, I've had persons come to my office that was looking for resources because they had to decide how they were going to pay their electric bill as opposed to getting a prescription. You know persons just like it also. So I'm going to continue to work on that issue. And this is what's going to make the difference. I will stay at the table and work with the opposing party on trying to resolve issues as it relates to public policy, more specifically as it relates to public policies concerning healthcare. I believe, and hopefully you believe, that healthcare should be a fundamental right for all citizens in this country. There should be a public option. And if you have private insurance and you want to keep it, you ought to be able to keep it. I'll stay at the table and be there when the last person gets up, and I'll be there until we get something done. So that's my top priority when I go to Washington.
Is the healthcare issue.
Healthcare issue.
What are some of the other topics that you really want to focus on and work on once you get to D.C.?
Well, I can take it down. I want to make certain that we have a minimum wage of $15 per hour. I mean, it makes no sense that people have to work three and four different jobs in order to make ends meet. And so, yes, I want to make certain we have a fund, but that we have a minimum wage of $15 an hour. I also want to make certain that I begin to look at more credibility in the criminal justice system. We have issues of trust between police and, frankly, minority communities. Now, don't get me wrong. If I pick up the telephone to call a police officer, I want that police officer to be at my front door as quickly as possible if there's a problem. As I said, I've been an assistant district attorney, so I've worked with police officers. I have friends that are police officers. I have friends that are chiefs of police now because we've gone through the world together, criminal justice world together. And I've also seen issues where police officers have been overzealous. And I've also seen issues at times when police officers have been wrongfully accused. And so what I've done in the past, and again, this is part of my resume, I've made certain that body cameras. You're familiar with body cameras?
Yes, sir.
I'm the author of the body camera bill.
Wow.
Okay? I put that in place and made certain that there was enough flexibility for local law enforcement to kind of customize it for their own usage within certain confines. But it's been working. It's reduced the number of complaints against police officers, and it's kind of reduced the number of overzealous activities by police officers. It's also caught police officers in lies. And those officers that have perpetrated crimes have been punished accordingly. In the Dallas area, at least two police officers have been found guilty of murder. And frankly, the jury said that it was because of the body camera evidence. And so what I want to do is to restore the credibility of the criminal justice system. And I think one way to do that is to make certain that when the police department files a case with the district attorney's office, that they certify that all the evidence in their files have been turned over to the district attorney's office, so there won't be any issues as to whether or not evidence has been hid. Now, I tried to do that this past legislative session. It passed the Senate, but it died in the House because the line and file law enforcement officers associations killed it. That's the word that I got. I didn't see them kill it. You never see them kill it, okay? But it died. And so what I want to do as a U.S. senator, and I think this is reasonable, I think that any state that gets Department of Justice funding should make certain that the law enforcement agencies file a certification that all evidence in a particular case that's being filed with the district attorney's office has been turned over to the district attorney's office. Okay, so in that area, in the area of climate change, I mean, which is a big issue. Now, don't get me wrong. Amarillo, I understand that we're an oil and gas industry here in the state of Texas.
I'm going to ask you about that.
And the reality is that we will be. But the reality is also that we have to look at renewable sources of energy. We've got to make certain that we do some things that will help reduce the carbon going into our environment, green gases that are going into our environment. And so I will be working with there's a committee that's established up here. It's a climate change committee comprised of Democrats, equal number of Democrats and Republicans. And hopefully we can work on finding some solutions to this issue. I understand that we will continue to be an oil and gas industry in the state of Texas, but we've got to make certain also that we provide for the future. So I'll do that too.
Now, this part of the state too is also big agriculture.
It's a big
economic engine. The tariffs, the trade wars.
Well, and that's, David, thanks for bringing it up, because that's exactly what I was going to talk about next. You know, I don't know how this area was impacted by the tariffs. What I do know, talking to some of the persons in agriculture down in Big Springs and all other parts, that there was issues concerning when that occurred, the price of equipment went up, and those stocks, for lack of a better terms, that they had, they weren't able to get rid of. Okay, now there was a subsidy given by the federal government, but the question is how did the little farmer fare in getting those subsidies in order to make sure that they were able to maintain through this trade war? Now, and then the question is whether or not they will benefit from this first signing of the agreement between our government and China. Mm-hmm. And that's yet to be seen. But I'm very sensitive to that issue, and obviously I need to dig a little deeper, but I'm pretty certain that I will be able to get the information and also input from persons here in the Amarillo area about that as I become more and more knowledgeable about the subject and work closer to become a United States senator.
Now, you said this is a job interview.
Yes.
You're the potential employee, and you're speaking to your employer.
Exactly.
Make your pitch, sir.
My pitch is this. When you begin to look at the it's two things. Number one, I'm interviewing for the job to be the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senator. I think if you do a comparative analysis between myself and the other persons that are running in this race, you'll see that I have by far the most experience. You also see that when you review my references that I have the support of the majority of the Democratic leadership in this state. For instance, when you begin to think about the number of Democratic state senators, there's 12 of us. Of the 12, 10 have openly endorsed my candidacy. When you begin to look at the House of Representatives, there's 69. Of the 69, 48 have endorsed my candidacy. Next week, the mayor of Houston will endorse my candidacy, as well as others in the state. And so I have the support of the Democratic committee, the Democratic leadership. In addition, the question is whether or not I have been involved in the Democratic Party. Yes, I have been involved in the Democratic Party. Not only have I been involved, I've been committed to the Democratic Party when there are issues that I feel very strongly about. I am a member of the Democratic National Committee, Executive Committee. Mm-hmm. And I've also been a member of the Texas Senate Democratic Executive Committee. So I've been involved and committed in the Democratic Party. So if you look at my references and you look at my experiences, you do a comparative analysis, there's only one choice, and that choice is Royce.
There you go. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, Senator. Welcome to the Texas Panhandle, and good luck as you run up to the primaries. Once again, Senator Royce West, running for the U.S. Senate.